You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Second and 10. Texans bring four, Mahomes getting it out, Kelsey couldn't hang on, and Alshire has the interception!
That was one of the many sounds of the end of the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs playoff chances. It is a Monday here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you for the next 4 hours. As you guys know, on a Monday, we will have Andy Reid's press conference coming up at noon right here on 96.5 The Fan, but...
Only place to hear it.
It is
on a Monday.
It is the only place. I was surprised you're not wearing black today as well. I thought we made an agreement in our text.
Funeral.
I thought we all. I'm surprised Drew's not wearing a black quarter zip or hoodie as well. You're wearing gray, so that fits the mood, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah,
he's wearing his Shedeur Sanders thong, and it's got Bengals colors on it. I know you guys saw that thing.
Yeah, we'll get to them a little bit later on, I believe, during stock up and stock down, but. Look, it's over, man. It's over for the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs. We discussed all last week that I think you were the last one to be holding on to a little bit of hope that they could.
And even
find
I told
a way.
You it was pretty much delusional at that point.
Yeah, you were holding on still. It was about could they string them together? And I thought, look, I thought they were going to find a way to win last night and then drop one to the Broncos or something like that down the stretch and miss the playoffs that way. And now I guess I can be. Put out of misery a little bit earlier instead of hoping and hoping and hoping for weeks and weeks. This last night was a complete showcase of everything we've seen all year. Like, it's no secret. Like, anybody say, oh, I'm so shocked by last night. No, you're not. No, you're not if you watch
List
any game.
The problems the Chiefs have had this year and then tell me that it didn't just exist
drop
last night.
Passes. That happened last night. It's happened all year. Missed blocks and assignments. It's happened all year. Questionable play calls. Yeah, bad throws. Missed kicks, not forcing turnovers, long third down conversions given up by the defense, bad coaching decisions. Oh, yeah, had some of those last night as well. The Chiefs could not get out of their own way. Yet again, the story of the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs. Every big moment, they failed this year. And that's why this season is ending in a failure and is going to end with them not making the playoffs. I understand mathematically, yeah, they're still alive, but it's over. It's over. The Chiefs' season is dead. And Cody, in the locker room, while they will not publicly say it, that was the vibe in the locker room too. You've been in some locker rooms after tough losses before. I'm not acting like last night was the only time we've ever seen it. But in this era of the Chiefs, it is. And there, Travis Kelce was sitting at his locker, in uniform still, just staring blankly straight ahead. Mahomes had a towel over his head. The whole mood in the locker room, they know that was the game they had to have, Cody.
Look, it's not surprising to me that the season ended. And I guess, you know, weirdly enough, one of the what will end up being one of the storylines we probably didn't discuss as the way it sat is how many times this team fought back just to then crater, right? Like they were falling apart. Things were going bad. They had given up 10 points. Mahomes just threw a pick. The game was unwinding and unraveling anyway. And then they clawed back gold. It was 10-10 and then fell apart. And you're like, come on. Like, legitimately, come on. You're just going to do this again? Fall apart again? And, like, that part is very frustrating. And this idea that, like, you do all this work just to have 4th-and-1 and go empty set, and we'll get into that in a minute,
yeah,
and screw it up and blow it again. This is going to go down as a massively upsetting season. And I think largely because I still, even after all this, do not think that this team is talentless. You're telling me that they got the same amount of talent on an NFL football field as the Miami Dolphins, a team they share the record with now? No, no, no. I refuse to believe that. That doesn't matter. The results are the results, and their season is over as a result of that. And look, you can cling to hope if you want. I don't really care. You want to say, oh, you know, the beat the Chargers next week. It's fine if you want to do that.
Yeah.
I won't be doing that. I assume, like at this point, I think they might win 2 games the rest of the way. They'll beat the Raiders and the Titans, and then I'll be picking them to lose the other two.
I think you wonder now, too, like how do you even, you know, based off of the locker room last night, there's not many players in there. Now, maybe going back to their college and high school days, not many players in that locker room that have experienced this, right? Because this group that has been together for a while, for the most part, certainly the core guys, when's the last time Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones experienced this, which is missing the playoffs? Well, a lot of them haven't. Patrick Mahomes has never, of course, been in a spot where he hasn't been in the postseason. And you got back to 2014, the last time they weren't in the postseason. And so that feeling, I wonder just, you mentioned, you know, the fight to just blow it at the end kind of thing. I wonder how much fight is left in this group to begin with based off of what happened, based on what happened last night. I mean, it just, the frustration, I think, was much earlier in the year. Last night was more just, you know, I think the final reality of what we all deep down knew about this team. Like, it's one thing after you lose to Jacksonville, like you're pissed off and you're frustrated, but there's a lot of season left and you're like, all right, they can maybe figure this thing out. And by the way, then after that, they won 3 in a row. You're like, all right, there we go. It's week 15 now. We all know deep down that this team is what we saw last night. There is no, well, actually they're better than, no, they're not. Like, you're right, Cody, that if we look at the 53 man roster,
not a better team,
53 man roster. You're right. Like there is of course talent on this team, but this is who they are. They're a 6-7 football team. You lead the league or you're top 3 in the league in drop passes, all these different penalties, metrics. This is who they are in 2025. We'll get bigger picture discussion about the offseason and stuff throughout the week and everything like that. But last night was a complete showcase of who they are in 2025. And there were moments, too. The Chiefs had the ball 4 times in the fourth quarter with a chance to either take the lead or, heck, just tie. Just tie. It wasn't like the Texans offense was doing anything in the second half. The Chiefs defense was amazing in the third quarter in particular. What, -2 yards of total offense awesome. The Texans had? The Chiefs ran 13 plays when they had the ball 4 times with a chance to take the lead or tie. 13 plays, they got 19 yards on offense. 2 interceptions, drops were a big part of that, of course.
Goes back to the same thing. Look, Texans are a good defense. They're supposed to frustrate you. But at times, this offense goes missing. Milk carton missing. Like, it can't be found. Can't run a successful play. Can't do anything. I know we'll talk about the drops and some of this other stuff, but they just go stagnant in some big way. And look, I think any season, and I know we'll get to the bigger picture and what are the moves in the offseason they'll make, but
yep,
any season in which you possess Patrick Mahomes, it ends like this. Well, yeah, there's going to be questions and real questions.
It's a failure, 100%.
It's funny. It's like, failure doesn't even feel like a strong enough word, Gold. No, you know, like, no, I understand. But, like, it's, like, massive. Like, you know, like, epic failure. It feels like it needs some sort of adjective in front of it. Otherwise, I'm not doing it enough justice because at every turn this year, you cannot beat a single decent team. You lose to all of them. You've now lost 4 out of 5 games. You can't win home games anymore. You can't beat people in the cold. Any of the stats that used to mean something are worthless, and I don't want to cite. Not ever again, but at least for like another year or something. That game was, and this is what I think has been different about this season. That game was so unpleasant to watch that if I didn't have to come in here on a Monday, I can assure you I would have turned it off. If this wasn't my job, like if I didn't have to follow the Chiefs, talk about them all the time, Gold, I'd have made it halfway through the second quarter and I've been like, it's not ruining my night tonight. I'll just do something else. And
I mean, you grew up in Kansas City. You grew up as a Chiefs fan. Listen, I don't believe what you just said, that you would not have watched the rest of the game.
I think I would have turned it off.
Stop. The playoffs were on the line. The playoffs were on the line. And if you didn't do this for a living, you're telling me you would not have watched the game.
I think there's a chance I'd just flip it off.
Okay.
I mean, genuinely. Okay. It was like that game was so unpleasant.
Okay.
And then at least they got it to 10-10. And you're like, okay, maybe there's still some fight left in this squad. Look at the defense go. Look at Chris Jones manhandle the entire Texans offensive line for the better part of like 2.5 quarters, almost single-handedly dragging them back into the game, only to have them do this. And then we get to the biggest moment of the game, obviously, which is Patrick Mahomes makes a run on third down. He breaks a tackle, but he comes up 1 yard short, right? Oh, what a play. Only to have them decide to go for it on fourth down. When the Texans have nothing going, and they tell themselves, okay, we're going to go for it. And this is what the play sounded like.
Wants to run. Fourth and four. Mahomes stepping up, going middle. Rice dropped it through his hands. Incomplete.
There were plenty of decisions in the game, plenty of decisions in the season, plenty of drops in the game, all of that throughout the year. But that moment right there, that decision to go for fourth down, that ended the Kansas City Chiefs 2025 season. And I understand the drop happened, and this is not the same in other weeks when you could say, well, if they would have got it, you would have said he was a genius. No, this is where you and I differ a lot, Cody, on the analytics stuff. And I know we're in agreement on this decision, but
yes,
where we differ in a lot of times where people will cite, well, the analytics say that actually it was the right or wrong decision in any moment. We've done this throughout the entire season.
Analytics say it's a 50-50, by the way.
Yeah, analytics are very useful. However, they do not account for game script, flow of the game, the vibes, if you will, of a football game. That was a defensive battle last night. Your defense was dominating in the second half. Why on earth would you hand at minimum 3 points to the Texans? It turned out to be 7 whatsoever. And then even if you want to convince yourself that it was the right call to go for it, you go empty on 4th and 1. You eliminate half your playbook. That's what they did. So yes, this is not alleviating the players from not making plays, but that decision by Andy Reid was by far the worst of the 2025 season and one of the worst of his tenure in Kansas City, Cody. What the hell were you doing on that fourth down? The fact that in the first half they're punting on the plus side of the field. Yet on that spot at your own 30, you're going for a 4th and 1 when your defense wasn't allowing the Texans to do anything. You're giving them free points. That's what you did.
This is the issue in the overall. Because like, let's just say I was fine with him going for it. Because in a weird way, I kind of got the emotion, right? Mahomes just fought off a guy and got it within a yard. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to trust him to get a yard. Kareem Hunt has been one of the most successful short yardage backs in the entire NFL this year. You don't even want to use him as a threat? You don't even want to pretend like he might hypothetically, potentially, even in a weird world, touch the football. So like you've taken away, and that's a huge problem. My biggest issue, and I swear to you, I've pointed this out for years. This was just a culmination of it. It pisses me off the way Andy handles fourth down because he's stupid with it. He is a great, all-time great, Hall of Fame level head coach. He is an idiot on his fourth down decision making. Overall, in his entire career, he's so stupid with it because he has no rhyme or reason. The problem I have is he doesn't have a plan. In the Dallas Cowboys game, he had one of the worst punts that you could possibly have in a cowardly, high-scoring game where he punts the ball away. In this game, it was 4th and 1.5 inside the 15-yard line, and he kicked a field goal that Harrison Butker barely made and settled for 3 because it looked like maybe the game. So, okay, he settled for the field goal because it felt like maybe the game was going low scoring. I'll take the 10-10 and let's just get ourselves even. And then you go for it? Where's your reasoning? Can you just have a plan? Because what I think it is, I genuinely, and if it's outside of this, I'm stunned. I genuinely think they go into the office and they say, we're never going to meet on what our plan is for fourth down. We're just on vibes. They never had a meeting at this point, is what I'm convinced. They've never sat down in an office and said, when do we go for it? When do we not go for it? Do we go for when the numbers go for it or when the game flow goes for it? No, they just sit in a moment and he's like, go for it. He's like Two-Face and he flips a coin and he just decides his own fate. That's my issue, is that there's no consistency or method to his madness on fourth down. It's the only thing where it seems like he doesn't have a system. And he just does what he feels
now he
like.
Claims, of course, that he meets on Fridays, I think it is, with their analytics guy, and they go through. But I understand that someone say if the players execute on that play, we're not talking about it. I'm just telling you, and like you weren't sitting next to me in the press box. But like I don't. This is not some hindsight 2020. A lot of times people say, well, if the play is executed, then you would be calling him a genius. And no, that was a 10-10 game. A 10-10 game. Clearly not going to be a high-scoring affair. Late in the game, your offense is still struggling. You know the issues throughout the entire season as well. You're going up also against, let's not forget, as much as we're critical of the Chiefs' own mistakes, the Texans are the best defense in football.
Yep.
And you're going for it in that spot. You punt the ball. Your defense stops them again, most likely. You don't allow, or make C.J. Stroud go and drive 60-plus yards and prove that he can do that, something he really hadn't done other than maybe one time the entire night or twice the entire night. That's the issue. And then, yes, the play call also just flat-out sucked.
Yeah, that part.
You eliminate half your playbook anytime you go empty like that. It makes no sense. And they, Cody, I think it was the prior possession or two possessions before the touchdown from Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt kind of bailed them out on that one too. It was a shotgun run from the 2 yard line on a fourth and one.
That one, yeah, that was a complete bailout because I didn't like that play call either. And look, maybe Andy Reid just doesn't have the personnel. Maybe you know this works. Play calling is an ebb and flow thing, and sometimes you're better at it and worse at it. My thing, like the fourth down decision, though, it's a culmination of like an actual flaw he has as a coach, because there isn't this whole season and his entire career. Gold, you're right. He maybe meets with them and he sits in that meeting and he lets him tell him what the numbers say, but he doesn't care in the moment, because you're right. In that game yesterday, you know, you and I have been doing the show together a really long time. You know where I stand on aggressiveness. You know where I stand on the analytics of it. You know that I am pro go for it. So often, like way more than even maybe a
standard. Yeah, you and I argue about this all the time because typically I don't want them to go for it.
I am pro go for it. And even on that play, Gold, I wanted them to punt. Do you hear this? Even I, in that moment, it was 10-10. It was a slugfest and your defense was riding a heater. There was a time in which I almost always say, yeah, sure, go for it. That felt like a safe time to punt. Because even if they were going to score a touchdown or a field goal, man, Texans were going to have to work for it.
Well, you just zap your momentum for your defense too, and energy from your defense when you put them in that particular spot. That was the end of the 2025 season. Now, Andy Reid was asked about the fourth down decision.
I thought we could get it. That was the decision. You know, I was confident we could. You know, we could do that. So it's important that you take advantage of opportunities. I thought it was an opportunity. I was wrong. No, I mean. Hindsight, it was wrong. We've been pretty good on fourth downs. I messed that one up.
But he said play field position a week ago against Dallas. So when is it? It's just when Andy feels like it. Again, that's the issue. It's not that you can't take advantage of a good situation. It's just when Andy feels like taking advantage or trying to take advantage. It's not, again, I'm with you. I wouldn't have called him a genius. I would have been like, ugh.
It was just an unnecessary risk.
Yeah,
like, by all means, pick your spots and be aggressive. That's in fact, we were giving him credit early on in the season when the offense wasn't rolling either. You know that, hey, they're being a little more aggressive. Yeah, but it's when they're on their opponent's 45 and it's the first half or whatever. Not when it's clearly a defensive game. It's tied. You're still in a nice spot. You got all the momentum. All right, it sucks. You got to punt, but you punt, and then you compound, and then you compound it with the bad play call on top of it. So this was not just about that it didn't work. It was the decision to begin with. And yeah, I think as much as there was so many other blunders in the game, and don't get me wrong, there were. I mean, the Rashee Rice drops continue to be ridiculous. Travis Kelce, of course, throughout this season, Cody, we're going to talk about it in 10 to 12 minutes. Throughout the season, there's been three games where you could argue some of his drops have directly cost them a football game. And that's a guy that otherwise, you know, we would say statistically has had a good year, but he's had three massive blunders as well. It's just been a brute, like this is how you have seasons like this when you're coming off, you know, a Super Bowl appearance and expectations are still sky high. And how on earth did we get here at 6-7 when we have so many issues and when you have brutal coaching mistakes throughout the entire season, when you look like while you haven't been, okay, but right this second, you look like a poorly coached football team. Yeah. That's the reality. They haven't been poorly coached throughout the entire run, duh. But no, right now, this has been, in this 2025 season, there have been far too many moments where they look like a poorly coached football team. That's Andy, that's Spags, that's Matt Nagy, that's Dave Tove, on and on and on. We can go to positional coaches.
Yeah, and look, I see the text line. There's always a few that are like, fire Reed, fire Veach.
Well, that's not happening.
Get rid of all of them. We'll talk about maybe some of the offseason stuff that might take place, depending on what's going to go in that spot. But like, look, in the end, have I lost all faith in Andy or something? No, I haven't. They did go to the previous three Super Bowls and won two of them. So, like, I understand how this works, why this works. My issue is about this one part of his game in which he is unwilling to adjust or have structure or a plan for, and because in that moment, it felt like it cost him the season. Because in reality, and here's the biggest problem is, and you can't make decisions based on everything going on around you, but to win that game last night was probably to win a playoff spot. Because the Colts had just lost their starting quarterback for the year. The only other team ahead of you was the Texans, the team you were playing. You played with fire for a whole playoff spot on a game that was 10-10 and the other team couldn't move the ball. The risk simply, in no circumstance, could be justified to say it was worth it.
Yeah, the Texans,
they're just not.
The Texans' drives in the second half before that decision, 4th-and-1 on 31, the Texans went 3 plays, -4 yards. 3 plays, 2 yards. 3 plays, no yards. 3 plays, no yards. 6 plays, 19 yards. Their prior 18 plays on Texans offensively, 18 plays, 17 yards. And you said, let's give them a short field. Let's risk that there's a chance of a short field. When your defense, to that point, given you pretty good evidence, 18 plays of evidence, as a matter of fact, that the Texans were not moving the football. And at minimum, you gave them field goal range, and it was even worse because, of course, then their third string running back ended up getting a touchdown on you. Nick Chubb was out of the game. Woody Marks got hurt, and it was kind of hard. Goomba Wale, I think, or whatever, got the third string running back.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know. And look, largely it's been that this team is maybe the least clutch team in the NFL. Like, there are bad teams, right? But I don't know that there are teams who have had more opportunities to have big time moments, because you got to be at least a mediocrely decent team in order to have some moments to win some football games. Every time it is like, do or die, gotta have it, make a play, balls off Rasheed's hands, bad pass, bad play call, missed kick, dropped interception. Look, it's anybody. It's not like it's not like one person being held accountable. Legitimately, there might have been 20 different Chiefs this season who, in a must-have-it moment, key crucial moment, in a game in which they lost this season, have screwed it up. Nick Bolton, Shamari Connor, Trent McDuffie,
yeah, you don't have
Patrick
years
Mahomes,
like this
Andy Reid. I mean, it's just like, it is an infinite amount. Travis Kelce, it's an infinite amount of Chiefs players who have screwed up. They are the least clutch team.
It's what happens for bad teams. They are now not even an average team. They are below average. They're 6-7. On the season. So yeah, of course it's not just one person. Absolutely not. Yeah, it is the entire organization. We haven't mentioned Brett Veach yet today. He obviously has to do with a lot of the failure of this season as well. Like, it goes all the way around, and we'll at 11 o'clock talk about, you know, potentially when you have a season like this, does it finally prompt you to make changes? I think it's very tough to make staff changes and things like that when you are going to Super Bowls. Like, who could blame you? Even if you lose in the Super Bowl, why would you think that you need to change anything? You're going to three straight Super Bowls. But when you miss the playoffs, which is what it looks like is going to happen, when you maybe finish with, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe they finish with 10 wins. I'm guessing they're going to finish with 9 if
Eight
I have to.
Nine,
yeah,
yeah,
like that maybe prompts you to make some changes. That's not something that Andy Reid has been in a position since the Bob Sutton days. That the last time they were in like a crossroads of like, hey, this is not working, this is not good enough, are you willing to change something?
They were.
Was when they moved on from Bob Sutton. They brought in Spags, Tyrann Mathieu, and the rest is history. They went on one of the great dynasty runs we've seen in sports history. Now you're at another crossroads. You're heading down, and you've got to figure out what's the counterpunch. Do you have one still in the offseason if you're Andy Reid in the front office? Not just, I'm not even talking about just bringing in players. I'm saying, are you willing to look in the mirror a little
bit?
Look
at your scheme.
And change how you operate? And also change maybe the guys you've been buddy-buddy with and working with and had success with. But you know what? It's just not working anymore, and maybe we got to make some changes. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock. But up next, I do want to talk about Patrick Mahomes, who statistically had one of his worst games as a Kansas City Chief, as an NFL quarterback, obviously, and the wide receivers. And maybe the most overhyped, and we're part of this grouping of that, wide receiver room in the NFL.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world.
We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month.
So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I mean, two more opportunities to go down and tie the football game and not doing it. You got to be able to make that stuff happen, and we haven't done that enough this year. We had chances, and we didn't execute at the right time to win it.
Yeah, that's the story of the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs. It's Cody and Gold here, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Text line is open as always. The Jay Southland Soul Service text line, 913-586-7965. We'll talk about Travis Kelce here in about 8 minutes or so. We're also 30 minutes away from discussing a little bit of just already looking ahead to whether or not you believe there will be changes, like actual changes that are tangible moving forward into 2026. That's coming up in just a bit. But let's start with the wide receivers and Patrick Mahomes. So Mahomes ends the game with his worst start of his career if you're basing it off of EPA. Remember, coming into this game, he was the number one EPA quarterback in football per dropback.
Yep.
This was it, not anymore, obviously. The worst start of his career, 42.4% completion percentage. That's the worst of his career. A 19.8 passer rating, worst of his career. And look, I think we all watch the game. Wide receiver drops are a huge part of these numbers as well. But he wasn't sharp. This is a combination of multiple things. But these are also games where he has to own it as well. And the reality is that in the biggest game of the season, because it was essentially a playoff game, that he did have his worst performance as a Chief in these metrics.
In his career,
I would say there's some other games I could pinpoint over the last 6 or 7 years that I actually think he looked worse. But I'm just telling you what some of the metrics said based off of last night. It doesn't help that you had what, at least 8 drops last night from some of your receivers. Now the Travis Kelce one, Cody, I would say that ball was behind Travis as well. Got to catch it, but also not a great throw. You know, you go on and on like that. That's correct. Been the issue of the entire season. This year, the Chiefs are tied, depending on where you look. It's so weird. ESPN says the Chiefs are tied for the second most drops. Another site says they're tied for the third most drops this
year. People track them different. Like, last night, you could have called it 9 drops. I think officially it was like 4.
Yeah, way more
than
4.
You and I both know that it was way more than 4.
Yeah.
Look, their problem, Patrick Mahomes had a bad game. So I don't want to dismiss that.
But guys got to catch the damn football.
As much as I've been complimentary of Mahomes and the kind of year I think he's having, he made a couple of bad mistakes. He was off slightly in several throws. He also made some throws that hit dudes in the damn hands in the most critical moments. And this goes back to where they are as a wide receiver unit. This is the problem they have. In year 3, Rashee Rice is worse. In year 2, Xavier Worthy's worse. Travis Kelce's had 3 absolutely critical plays and no one else has stepped up. So the issue being is right now, it still feels like there's a chance that you're a year away from an entire teardown at the wide receiver unit again. The same thing that they had to do on the offensive line. A couple of years back, like 5 years ago, they tried to rebuild the entire offensive line. They got 2 years into that rebuild, and they're like, well, this stinks. And they had to start all over at tackles again and figure out where they're going. It feels like we're barreling towards that at wide receiver, because if Rashee Rice was hoping to get a check at the end of this year in order to, I don't know, pay some of his legal fees or anything else going on in his life, this year is not going to convince teams to give him some massive amount of money. Worthy, and some of it I could put on just, he's playing scared, and maybe it's just the shoulder, and like that could affect you, but he is worse. He is a worse player this year than he was last year. It ended up being a massively overhyped wide receiver unit, and they dropped an incredible amount of balls yesterday.
Throughout the whole season, again, so many things are just what we've seen all year. I hate to keep saying that, but that's the drops, yes, highlighted yesterday because it's Sunday Night Football and it's essentially a playoff game, but that also has just been a problem the entire season. Look, I think everybody clearly overhyped the wide receiver room. I'll say that as well. I mean, I think we did on this show. I think most Chiefs fans did. Yep. I think the Chiefs themselves clearly did as well. The EGE thing looks like one of the dumbest things that ever existed during this era. Everybody got to eat. Everybody's just dropping passes instead. And I think overall, when you look at Rashee Rice, we were having a conversation, a month and a half ago, guys. And, you know, the debate was more, is he already a top 20 receiver? Could he elevate and become a top 10? That seems laughable at this point in time. Top 10, top 20 receivers do not have the crucial drops in back-to-back games the way he did. They just don't. I'm not saying CeeDee Lamb's never dropped passes. Of course, there's plenty of games where he has. But in these big moments, in these crucial spots, when you're the number one wide receiver, when your team doesn't have anything going, you got to step up for your team, and he hasn't enough for them in 2025, while also, as you mentioned, he let them down by missing the first 6 games of the season to begin with. So it's compounded with that decision that he made as well. Xavier Worthy, I do think a huge chunk of this is that he's playing with a dislocated shoulder and a bad ankle, and he's gutting it out and all that. And last year, they were forced to use him like a real wide receiver. I think too many times this year, they've tried to turn him into a gadget guy again instead of letting him just go out there and be a wide receiver. I think they have hurt some of that. But you're right, the numbers are the numbers. And then, Hollywood Brown, every 4 weeks, he comes up with a big catch. That's basically where we're at with him. He had a big catch last night, and that was it.
Like, when we go to talk about the changes, I'm sure we'll bring this up. People already mentioned Connor Embry and that they've gotten worse.
The wide receiver coach.
Look, reality is, like, if people get worse under you or don't get better, your job's going to probably be at risk, so we can get to that in the I'm not sure that would be enough to satisfy or quench the thirst of bloodlust the Chiefs fans are going to have at the end of this thing. It just... I don't know. Part of this is Mahomes hasn't been hitting these guys the same. And I'll be honest with you. I'm having a hard time blaming him. And that being the fact that I've watched Patrick Mahomes play football a lot before this was his unit of wide receivers of the last couple of years. Hell, I watched him win a Super Bowl with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney and a bunch of Jags. I watched him get through it where there were still plays to be had. This wide receiver unit has let him down more than any of the others. And the drops are a huge reason why. But it goes back to the part we were talking about at the beginning. It's never just the drops. It's when they drop it, dude. Any of them?
Any big moment.
It was like 4 different first downs in their hands yesterday. One sealed the game in Travis Kelce. Noah Gray dropped 2, and Rashee Rice dropped 1. On 3rd down, on 4th down, to continue a drive, to move forward, that's when they're dropping it. In a lot of ways, it's like on 1st and 10, I lived my life. Kareem Hunt dropped 1-2. That was good for a first down.
Yep.
Right in his face mask. Perfectly called play by. This is one of those like, That was a perfectly called play by Andy.
Correct.
Kareem Hunt was wide ass open. Perfect. Here comes the first, and that was the one where they ended up settling for the Harrison Butker field goal attempt. And instead, because that was on third down, and then settled for three, they made it 10-10. That drive could have ended in a touchdown. That's in the red zone, perfect play call, third and short. They thought they were going to hand it to Kareem. This goes back to the initial play call. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And we'll get back to that one. And they drop it. And so it's just, obviously, this is part of the problem. We'll talk about draft later in the week, I'm sure.
But this is also like,
they got holes.
By the way, when we're talking about the wide receiver room, it doesn't mean that none of them are ever capable of making a play, but it's the consistency that you need to have in your wide receiver room, and they don't have that. And when they look at the type of receiver throughout the Andy Reid era, this goes back to Philadelphia as well. Rashee Rice is like the basically 6'1". That's about as big of a receiver as they will draft.
Yeah, they don't have a Jamar Chase.
And so I'm fine. Like, speed is great to have on the field. Like, you need speed, but boy, oh boy, do they just need a wide receiver that is capable of being a little more physical, that is able to win man to man, one on one, and they don't have that in this receiver room. I thought Rashee Rice could be that, and he can at times, but again, if you're not going to be consistent, well then you can't be the number one wide receiver for my team.
No, and that's his biggest problem is that, and look, his is maybe he took a year off from football and hands don't work the same. Like, I'm not surprised Rashee Rice looks sloppy on a football field. He missed all of last season due to a major injury, had to miss 6 games going into this thing. You can hit the jugs machine at training camp all you want, but like, he has to find a way to step up in a much, much bigger way if he wants to be this team's leading wide receiver.
There was a point in the fourth quarter until the final drive, right, which was worthless, right? 30 seconds, yeah, whatever the heck that was. The fourth quarter offense for Kansas City. Now, this includes the drops, but still, numbers are numbers as well. Mahomes was 0-for-8 with 2 interceptions. And on the ground, they had 3 carries for 15 yards. That was the fourth quarter offense until the garbage yards that they got in the third.
10 straight incompletions.
Or picks. Yeah.
In a game. Which, I mean, it might aren't complete to the right person.
Right.
So count just the same. And so, no, they, I don't know. I think last night culminated a thing that we've mentioned on the show that I feel like is probably getting a little more notice now, which is, so Mahomes makes that. They're down 10-0. He stiff-armed that defensive lineman 3 times, pushes him off,
gets face mask,
makes some insane throw at the first down marker on 3rd and 10, and you're like, and I almost texted you and said, that's a terrible sign. That is an awesome play. That is a terrible sign for the Chiefs.
We've said this throughout the whole year.
Oh, it's an awful sign. The second he starts making plays that you're like, what kind of freakazoid nonsense is that? No one's supposed to make that play. Bad news. Bad news for the Chiefs because, and look, he was, admittedly, he was pressured on 18 snaps last night. It's the most pressures the Texans have gotten in a single game this year. Not surprising. They were down to their 4th string left.
And they're the number one defense in football.
That tracks. But Mahomes was awful against pressure. And a lot of times it's twofold when you're awful against pressure, when you're as good of a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes is, which is your wide receiver still can't get separation in short yardage, or the play calling is not giving you quick outlets, quick options, ways to get out of this thing quickly and successfully. And so, like, some combination of that really let him down yesterday.
In our group chat with Drew, all 3 of us were in last night. We were texting at one point and talking about, I felt like there were moments, specifically probably in the first half, where they were almost anticipating that Mahomes wasn't going to have much time with their play calling, which we all knew going in was going to be a concern. But they had better time and protection than they thought they had. Does that make sense? Like, and so I thought in the first half there were times where that there were some plays that they were not willing to call, obviously, because they were concerned about protection. But I felt like they were almost being too conservative in that what they thought they were able to run. The protection was holding up better than I thought. Now, they gave help to Jalen Moore throughout the entire night. But that part was weird if we're just talking specifically about how they handled play calling while also trying to protect at the same time.
Well, yeah, because there were a couple of, like, they got that deep in cut to Worthy, and that was on a max protect. They had 2 tight ends and the running back in the backfield and essentially just sent 3 guys out, and Worthy got open. Look, protection was part of the issue with the offense last night. And again, I don't know who I'm supposed to blame on the offensive line.
Backups all over the place.
Paul had to come in after a single snap for Wanye Morris, and they had Caliendo and Jalen Moore. I wasn't anticipating some well-blocked, beautifully sequenced. I thought they did fine considering the issues they had at play. But Mahomes has been bad under pressure. His accuracy has struggled the last 2 years as he's been pressured more and more, which goes back to the how close are they on solving their offensive line issues? And if Simmons is healthy and playing, it seems like they probably have a left tackle. When Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and Kingsley are all playing, it seems like they're there. So, like, maybe the offseason is a right tackle solution. It could be Jalen Moore. But a right tackle away from being better. And once again, this late in the year, they're just getting beaten to death by the injury bug. He's looked pretty good this year, Mahomes. I think, I don't care who you are, when players let you down that often, you start, and this is his, and this is something he does a lot of in his career, and normally doesn't burn him because he's so great. But when your players let you down as much as they did in that game last night, you get through two halves of football and you just start saying, well, they better just do everything. Like, his back must hurt. And, like, he had a bad game, but I imagine halfway through that game, he's like, well, I guess I'll just do it all myself because they were letting him down in so many key spots, Gold. How could that not just be human nature?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the frustration, I think the frustration, you guys were watching on TV, so you probably even saw the close-ups more than
it
I did.
Visible.
Like,
yep.
You know, you could just tell his body language from up above. I can't imagine on TV when they were cutting to him. The frustration for weeks, guys, has been visible, understandably so, from Mahomes and others, right? I mean, yep. Early in the year, it was the sideline blow-ups from Kelsey, but I'm talking about, like, Mahomes when he's, you know, the fourth down decisions, whether it's the play call itself or just trying to convince, you know, Andy to go for it or not go for it. You can sense as he's hearing it through his helmet, I think, it's not, I don't think this is inaccurate to say, you can see the frustration on his face on some of those close-up shots on TV.
Can I say, and we talked, we didn't mention the, you'd briefly mentioned we were talking about the really bad fourth and one play call, the touchdown run on fourth down that
yes.
went to Kareem Hunt. you were at the stadium, so you didn't see it. I'm going to tell you right now, they cut to Patrick Mahomes and that play call came in and he went like something stank. Like he went.
Yeah, there was a screenshot
looked,
of his face.
He looked
that was all over
legitimately
the place.
Annoyed with the call, yeah. Dude. He's
a, shotgun, he got that, fourth and one.
He got that fourth and one shotgun run. He's like, how the hell can I check out of this?
I think it was
Matt, the look on his face. He legitimately looked dissatisfied with that play call.
Yeah, I
call.
Think it was Matt Verderam that said something. Like, if you don't like the play call, find it, like, audible out of it. Like, you technically don't have to run the play that Andy gives you just because, you know, it's Andy Reid.
I know, but, like, you know, he's a team player. It's a crazy thing to just say, I'm going to call, you know, this isn't Varsity Blues. Typically they call, and it worked out because Kareem Hunt saved him, but still. You'd mentioned you were in the post-game locker room and multiple other reporters talking about Travis Kelce's in his locker. I'll have you describe that in a minute.
Yeah.
On the field at the end of the game when we saw it, I was just stuck with the feeling of, does he want to go out like this? Like, is this how he wants the culmination of an all-time tight end career to go down? And is there some part of him that just wants to, like, give it one more year, because going out like this, I mean, it'd been better to go out losing the Super Bowl than going out like this.
Sure.
It just feels wrong in so many
ways.
Yeah,
it's very rare. And I don't ultimately know what his decision will be. I certainly have a guess, but I think we sometimes have been spoiled in recent history with players that have gotten to go out on their own terms in terms of at the top. And that's just not usually how it works.
No.
Right? Like, that's usually not how it works. And unfortunately for Travis, I think his final year in the NFL is going to be a missed playoff season. And that sucks for a guy that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's the best tight end in NFL history. It's a season, Cody, where when we've discussed the drops and issues, he unfortunately has been just as much a part of that as anybody on the crucial drops, right?
Yep.
Some of his drops have directly led to points. Now, statistically, we can all at the end of the year be like, oh my gosh, he ended up having 900 and something yards and touched it. Cool. But this was not a good, like, I'm sorry, this was not a good year for Travis Kelce in the biggest moments. It wasn't.
No. It was actually his worst year of his career and probably the biggest moments. He's been fine and healthier and playing.
Yeah,
okay.
He's going to finish with top 3 yards for tight ends, top 4 yards for tight ends, and at his age is a pretty remarkable thing.
It is.
But crucial moments, drops, and it directly has led to points. And I thought his body language at the end, because there's still TVs up in the press box as well, you know, Cody, that he people were comparing it to how Jason Kelce looked in his final game. Now, that was a final wild card game. There's still Travis Kelce's got a couple more games to play here. It's not like the season for him, he's just sitting down the rest of the year. He will be playing the final 4 games of the season for the Chiefs. But I felt the entire locker room, Cody, was a lot of everybody recognizes that was it last night. The game, not just for Kelce. I'm talking about just the season, and Kelce was part of that. We walk in there, and how it works is we're all waiting in line to get in the locker room while Andy, you know, is addressing the team, and they're kind of having their cool down period or whatever. And while we're waiting to get in the locker room, Rashee Rice and a few others already had left. They walked past us. So they already got the hell out of there. They didn't want to talk.
I gotta say, and the accountability on that's kind of sad. Like, you just gotta wear. You made a bunch of big mistakes. Mahomes gotta stand up there.
I don't disagree. Yeah, other players have to deal with it. I totally agree. We get in there, and Travis Kelce, still in his uniform, man, is sitting at his locker and just looking straight ahead. Just like, just who knows, right? What's going through his mind in that at that moment? I'm sure a lot. And then later, after, I don't know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes or so of the media session in the locker room, you know, he ends up getting ready to head back toward, you know, to where they shower and everything. And he turns a corner and he, and you know, you normally just turn a corner and keep walking. He turns a corner and just kind of like one of those where like just leans up against the wall and you're kind of just like, you let your body just completely rest. Oh, like one of those. Yeah. Like,
I mean, that's, I don't know. That's part of the question, I guess, about the, like, is this how he wants the career to end? These like big moments. And look, a few years will pass and these memories of dropped passes to lead to interceptions will fade. And you'll just remember what Travis Kelce was, a huge chunk of his career. And you won't remember him going out like this, but the him more than anyone. And that's why I think people were just saying like, he's probably still going to retire, is him more than anyone seemed to take that loss. He took it the worst.
Well, because he's
got it the worst.
You can say, you know, hey, we still got a shot. We need some help. Like they know last night was the same thing we all said. I mean, that was a game they had to have. Yes, mathematically they're alive, but that was, they all know the reality of it.
Is it the shot of, because if you win that game, I probably think you're making the playoffs, especially after the Colts injury or this other stuff and getting ahead of these teams.
Like, these guys know what a championship caliber team looks like and how they play, and they know they haven't been anywhere near that this year. I mean, especially somebody like Travis and Patrick. So yeah, I mean, I think this is going to unfortunately be how it's going to end for his career, which sucks.
We were all at Arrowhead on Friday. We had a little company party.
We did, yeah, yeah.
Everyone
that was
showed
a lot of fun.
Nobody. Yeah. I mean, I didn't. I mean, I just hung out, had a couple drinks.
There's one really awkward moment though.
No, really.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now. I want to be very clear. I didn't have any awkward moments.
Yeah.
I just chatted with some people.
Oh, it was great.
Had a couple cocktails, ate some prime rib, and then went home. You know, I thought the setup was good. It was in the Chiefs Hall of Honor. You guys went down and did a little tour of the field.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun.
Sounds nice.
At one point, so I'm talking to the spouse of a coworker,
okay,
who I knew prior to the spouse working here and everything. And Dusty came over. I introduced Dusty to this gentleman, and we're talking, and all of a sudden Dusty turns and says, I can't say the exact word, like, damn, who the hell is that? Like, in a good way.
So he's checking her out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he turns back towards us, and I just stand there because I know who this person is, and I also know the gentleman that we're talking to is the husband of said person.
Oh, Dusty.
And I don't say anything. And Dusty goes, that's his wife, isn't it? I said, yeah.
He knew
and I
it.
Walk away. I just walked away.
You just left?
I just walked
just
away.
Left the conversation?
I just walked away.
Did he walk away after? Did he have to like lay
know.
In it?
I don't know. I talked to the gentleman later on in the evening, and he's like, did he say what I think he said? I said, yeah. He's like, all right, I'm not mad about it. I go, no, take it as a compliment. Take it as a compliment.
It would be him, though.
Very dusty
and
moment.
Honestly,
there.
It's a company
very
party.
Dusty.
That's out of pocket.
Very dusty moment. Yep.
Company party?
Wait, Gold, did you pull a... Sorry, I'm going to apologize on behalf of him because
I didn't need to do that because like, I knew that person I've known for a while. I know he wouldn't necessarily care, but it was just I was embarrassed for Dusty.
Uh-huh.
Is how it was, you know what I mean? And that he would have been the odds on favorite to be in that exact moment and say that.
I think by a mile, actually. I think I don't know if it would be close.
Look, but even if it's your, like, I'm a loud person, natural instinct of your worst behaviors, right? Like whatever. Of like your normal stuff. Like, you know that anyone at this party either has to be with someone we work with or be someone who works here.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just not... That's too risky, Drew. Yeah. That's just like a... That's a no sexual comment situation. That's just a...
Yeah.
That, I mean, just workplace company party. That's a no. Like, maybe. Like... Maybe if you were in a circumstance.
He let his internal thought to win in that situation.
Yeah.
I suppose.
But you're right, where it's like anybody at that party could clearly be the spouse of somebody. What do you know? You for sure know that person you're standing next to is not at all possibly relate, you know, in relation
like
to the other.
Like they work there.
Yeah.
Like they work at Arrowhead. That would have been... Even then, it's a risk.
I mean, it was a great moment of the night, but also like, and this was early. This wasn't like after that many drinks or anything. This was pretty early on in the night. No, this was not later after multiple drinks. Probably a drink in, I would imagine, at this point in time.
I thought.
And you guys were not around for this.
I wasn't there yet.
No, I really don't like awkward situations.
I know you don't.
That one would have. I'd just been like, oh, God. Oh, God. I like, what the hell do we do here? Because I can't. I just like legitimately like, well, I can't be a part of this. I got to get the hell out of here. I got to leave this situation. So this was early.
This was pretty early. And this is the thing. At these parties, a lot of times like, I don't talk to Cody much because we talk plenty. Like, I know what I mean?
See each other.
So we usually like go our own direction at these parties because I sit there and just talk to Cody for 3 hours. We do this every day. We communicate plenty. So like, I don't know where you were at the time or when everything. I obviously Drew, you were there as well and everything. But did you go, you went on the tour or no?
I did go on the tour. Yes,
you went on the tour.
So you got to see some trophies.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice. You
got to see a couple Lombardi trophies. Yep, that's true.
That was a tough.
I did not look at the Lombardis. Gold offered it to walk me over.
I offered to show him. I said, I can walk you towards the Lombardis if you don't know what they look like.
You didn't want to look at them?
I don't need to look at them.
Something to aim for.
No. What service does it do to me?
Well, just in case you're wondering what they look like, because I imagine if you went to Cincinnati, in fact, I don't imagine, I know for a fact you wouldn't find any. So that's
still cool to see a person.
Yeah.
You know, you could also look at the old AFL trophies. They were there. It's neat to see them. A little traveling trophy. Well, you know, who doesn't want to see that?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was nice that they were
just wanted to fill you guys in on what happened at the old company party on Friday night.
Uh-huh. It's usually me that comes at a risk of a company party.
Well, you wouldn't have done that.
No, but I might do something else, dude.
Well, sure, like steal, you know, that's happened.
Steal's relative. Those gift bags look like they were for anybody.
Yeah, a couple years ago, there was the gift bag thief. That was you. All right, up next, guys, let's get back into the Chiefs. And I wonder if you guys have confidence that there would be off-season changes. If, in fact, what happens is a missed playoff season and what that means for Andy Reid. Plus, we'll talk about the college football playoff. Oh, boy, plenty of controversy around that as we expected. That's next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.